This program is intended for a print-impaired audience and is brought to you by Audio Journal. Welcome to Community News, a program sponsored in part by the Lions Clubs of Millbury, Leicester, and Oxford. And thanks to the Memorial Foundation for the Blind and the Massachusetts Commission for the Blind for their ongoing support. In the next hour, I will be reading recent articles about Grafton, Auburn, Millbury, and Sutton from a variety of news sources covering these communities. This is Arnie Wenske. Thanks for joining me this afternoon, and we begin with news, information, and announcements for the town of Auburn. The next select board meeting will be on Monday, May 13th. When I have the agenda, more than likely for the next broadcast, I will give you a line-by-line description of that meeting. For now, the town of Auburn has some announcements to make, beginning with ballots were given to the post office on Wednesday, April 29th. Residents should be seeing them in their mailboxes soon. They can be sent back in the mail, dropped off at the town clerk's office, or dropped in the ballot drop-off box. Any questions you have, please call the town clerk's office at 508-832-7701. Once again, the town clerk's office is located at 104 Central Street in Auburn. You can call them at 508-832-7701. The next announcement from the town of Auburn regarding 2026 town election dates, beginning with the annual town meeting at the high school auditorium at 6 p.m. on Tuesday, May 5th. The last day to register to vote and in-person early voting, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m. at Town Hall, will be Saturday, May 9th. Once again, that's the last day to register to vote and Saturday, May 9th. Next, campaign finance reports, townwide only, eight-day report, 4 p.m. It is due on Monday, May 11th. Last day to request a mail-in ballot, 5 p.m. on Tuesday, May 12th. Then, annual town elections for precincts 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5 at the Auburn High School gym from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. Tuesday, May 19th. Then, campaign finance reports are due, 30-day report, at 4 p.m. on Thursday, June 18th. Please call 508-832-7701 with any questions you may have about the upcoming 2026 town election dates. A little more detail about the annual town meeting on May 5th, starting at 6 p.m. at the Auburn High School Auditorium. Some of the topics to be discussed include operating and capital budgets for fiscal year 27, replacement of the roof at the Historical Museum, and acceptance of Nancy Drive as a public way. Questions can be referred to the town clerk's office at 508-832-7720. Next announcement from the town of Auburn, save the date, Household Hazardous Waste Day, on Saturday, June 6, 2026, beginning at 9 a.m. to noon for Auburn residents only. Additional information will soon follow. If you have any questions, please call 508-832-7703. Next announcement from the town of Auburn concerning town notice dog tag registration. Please be advised that a $10 late fee will be implemented beginning Friday, May 1st, 2026, for any dog that has not been issued a 2026 dog tag. If you have applied but not yet received your 2026 dog tag, please contact the town clerk's office as soon as possible to avoid additional fees. That number is 508-832-7701. If you have not applied yet, you can in person at the town clerk's office located at 104 Central Street. Thank you for your prompt attention to this matter. Following news item is from the Auburn, Mass. Police Department's Facebook page, dated April 29th. Auburn Police conduct operation targeting child exploitation. On April 1st, 2026, the Auburn Police Detective Bureau, in partnership with Homeland Security Investigations and the Massachusetts State Police High Risk Victim Squad, conducted an undercover operation aimed at identifying individuals involved in the online exploitation of minors. As a result of this coordinated effort, Vincenzo Girardi, age 51, of Milford, Massachusetts, was arrested and charged with the following: paying for sexual conduct with a minor, enticement of a child under 16, and attempted rape of a child. Girardi was held overnight on $2,500 bail. He was arraigned in Worcester District Court on April 2nd and later released on $500 bail. The Auburn Police Department remains committed to protecting vulnerable individuals, combating human trafficking, and holding offenders accountable. If you or someone you know may be a victim of exploitation, confidential help is available through the following: the National Human Trafficking Hotline, which can be reached at 888-373-7888, or Life Path, Worcester County, 508-852-7010, LIFT, Living in Freedom Together, 508-796-9256, Safe Exit Initiative, 508-556-6101, and the Auburn Police Department at 508-832-7777. Please share to raise awareness and help keep our community safe. Announcements comes from the Auburn Senior Center's Bulletin Flagtown Flyer for the month of May. First program, Memoir Vignettes, Personal Narratives. We've all wondered if we should tell our stories. Our stories are the fabric of our lives. They create a pathway into one's heart and soul, into the very nature of who we are and what mark we have made in the world. They can leave a legacy for children, grandchildren, and other relatives to come to know us as people much more deeply than just mom, dad, nana, grandpa. And writing those stories can illustrate our thoughts, desires, wishes, events, emotions, written in one's own voice, by one's own hand, to cherish for years to come. It's time to get busy illustrating your life. Writing can be difficult. It's messy, can be frustrating, but it is also cathartic and liberating. None of us needs to be an expert. Even published writers are rookies once. Writing is a process, an enjoyable one that can open up so many different worlds for us, just like reading can. Maybe we're not rookies, but just can't get started. You don't know until you try. There are a limited number of participants in this program, which is titled Memoir Vignettes, Personal Narratives. There is no charge. It's a 6-week program every Tuesday for the next 6 weeks, starting tomorrow, well, May 5th, and running through June 9th from 11 a.m. to 1 p.m. at the Auburn Senior Center. The program will be instructed by Karen Higgins, and you must register 508-832-7799 to attend the program Memoir Vignettes, Personal Narratives. The next program at the Auburn Senior Center on Monday, May 11th at 1 p.m., The Etiquette of 1890. Tea and accompaniments will be served. Advice and admonitions from a proper Victorian lady. Ladies, raise your skirts, ankles concealed. Please, we are stepping into the age of gentility. As guests of Mrs. Russell Parsons, a fictional proper Victorian lady, audiences become privy to the joys and trials of her life in the era of corsets, calling cards, and decorum. The performance is designed to revive lovely, ageless, and occasionally ridiculous traditions, all against a backdrop of fun. With a display of antique props that include clothing, fans, ice skates, holiday cards, dolls, etc., Mrs. Parsons explores the legend of afternoon tea, tea etiquette, fashion fundamentals, fan language, calling card etiquette, courtship scandals, the roles and responsibilities of a wife, and assorted other topics that range from tickling to poignant. The tone is conversational, with audience participation welcomed. The result is a light, amusing, historical overview of Victorian life. The Etiquette Expert of 1890 is an ideal accompaniment to an afternoon tea. Guests are encouraged to wear hats and gloves. The Etiquette of 1890 on Monday, May 11th at 1 p.m., RSVP by calling the Senior Center at 508-832-7799 to attend this program. The next program at the Auburn Senior Center will be on Thursday, May 14th, starting at 9:15. Phobias, which one do you have? Everyone is scared of something for no reason. You see whatever it is and start to feel panic. Your breath comes in short gasps. You may have a phobia. Come learn all about them. I happen to have leopardophobia. This on Thursday, May 14th, starting at 9:15 a.m. by Sari Bittix, president of the Auburn Historical Society. Call to register at 508-832-7799. Next program at the Auburn Senior Center is going to be held on Monday, May 18th at 1 p.m. Drew Carey, Into the Dream. Drew picked up his first guitar in 1975 and has been playing ever since. After over two decades of playing and singing in rock bands, he started doing solo acoustic shows in 2002. Armed with over 350 songs centered in classic rock between 1955 and 1989, Drew plays hits and deep cuts alike. Once again, on Monday, May 18th at 1 p.m., call 508-832-7799 to join the fun. The next program will be held on Tuesday, May 19th from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. at the Auburn Senior Center. Join us for a free workshop, Elder Financial Abuse and Scams, Common Scams and Abuse Scenarios, How to Protect Yourself, What to Do if You Are a Victim. RSVP to the Auburn Senior Center at 508-832-7799. This program, sponsored and offered by Central One Federal Credit Union. The Senior Center will be on Wednesday, May 20th at 1 p.m. Learn how the Registry of Deeds and the Probate Court work together for the residents of Massachusetts. Join us in a dialogue about land ownership and how probate issues can legally affect what happens to your property. We will provide introductory information and give an overview about deeds, Homestead Act, trusts, and estates. Learn how to protect your home from deed, fraud, and consumer notification services. This will be presented by Catherine Toomey, who is the Registrar of Deeds for Worcester County, and Stephanie Fatman, who is the Registrar of Probate. Contact the Auburn Senior Center to register at 508-832-7799. And on Thursday, May 21st at 9:15 a.m., Right to Die. There are two important bills currently before our general court this year, House 2505 and Senate 1486. These proposals would permit assisted suicide for terminally ill individuals in Massachusetts. This discussion will give you a better understanding of scope, implications, and key considerations of this legislature. Dr. Harvey Claremont, known as Dr. C, will provide a comprehensive overview and explain everything you need to know. To register for this program, please call the Senior Center at 508-832-7799. Right to Die on Thursday, May 21st, starting at 9:15 a.m. The next program at the Auburn Senior Center will be held on Wednesday, May 27th at 10:30 a.m. This program, the Retired Friends Club of Greendale presents. Join us for this one-hour musical program. The group sings Broadway hits, old favorites, hymns, and joy-filled sing-alongs. Register for this program on Wednesday, May 27th, starting at 10:30 a.m. at 508-832-7799 to join the Retired Friends Clubs of Greendale at the Auburn Senior Center for a one-hour musical program. Lunch is served daily at the Auburn Senior Center, including Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Lunch is served at 12 noon. On Thursdays, lunch is served at 11:45 a.m. The following is the menu for the next week. Beginning with Wednesday, May 6, braised beef, gemelli pasta and broccoli, and baked apples. On Thursday, May 7, Mother's Day meal, chicken royale with gravy, mashed sweet potatoes, green beans, and double chocolate cake. And then on Friday, May 8, vegetable cheese bake, O'Brien potatoes, Tuscany vegetables, and fresh fruit. And then on Monday, May 11th, honey mustard pork, mashed potatoes, mixed vegetables, and fresh fruit. On Tuesday, May 12th, burger with chili and cheese, herb potatoes, green beans, and Lorna Doone cookies. And finally, on Wednesday, May 13th, jambalaya, rice pilaf, peas and carrots, and pineapple. Remember, if you'd like to join us for lunch, please make your reservations at least 2 days in advance. If you cannot keep your reservation, please call to cancel. Thanks. $3 suggested donation, 508-832-7799 to register for any or all of these lunches. The next announcement from the Auburn Senior Center, Transportation Services. The Auburn Senior Center and the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, WRTA, offer shared ride transportation for Auburn residents age 60 and older, or individuals with disabilities of all ages. The van provides home pickup and may make additional stops for other riders. To set up an account or schedule a ride, call the WRTA, the Worcester Regional Transit Authority, at 508-752-9283. The following article is from the April 24th, 2026 edition of the Yankee Express, entitled Auburn Prepares for Annual Town Meeting. Proclamations issued to police and firefighter. At their last March meeting, the Auburn Select Board held discussions with the Department of Public Works, who were requesting authorization to apply for grant funding for Leesville Pond under the Dam and Seawall Repair or Removal Grant and Funds Program. The program is administered by the Massachusetts Executive Office of Energy and Environmental Affairs and provides grants that support the completion of designs and permits applications to repair or remove dams, etc. The scope of the grant application will be for funds to complete preliminary investigations, field investigation, and final design and permitting for rehabilitation of Leeville Pond Dam. The scope of the rehabilitation was identified in the most recent structural inspection of the dam performed in October 2025. In 2018, Auburn received $188,800 under the same grant program for construction of repairs around Leesville Pond Dam. The grant application builds off of that work by investigating and addressing issues that pose a longer-term risk. The request of approximately $250,000 in this grant application would fund all designs of the project. A match of 10% is required. It is anticipated that match funds will come from in-kind services such as review of design and permitting support. All Select Board members voted to authorize the DPW to apply for the grant funding. Proclamations and recognitions were also given to members of the Auburn Police Department and the Auburn Fire Rescue Department for their response as part of the Central Mass Law Enforcement Council, CEMLEC, in assisting the Spencer Police Department with an active and dangerous situation involving an armed suspect who had inflicted serious injury and engaged in gunfire with responding officers. Several Auburn public safety officials were deemed to have gone above and beyond the call of duty during a live shooter incident in Spencer. Deputy Chief Kenneth Charlton served as CEMLEC SWAT team commander, providing leadership, coordination, and command presence during a rapidly evolving and high-risk operation. Officer Randy Hawley responded as a member of the CEMLEC SWAT team to assist in the containment of an armed and dangerous suspect believed to be barricaded within a structure. Officer Matthew Laskus's technical skills deployed and operated a tactical robot within the building while also attempting to communicate and de-escalate the situation involving the armed suspect. Officer Brandon Geldart responded as a member of CEMLEC drone unit and provided specialized support and aerial resource skills during the operation. Firefighter paramedic Scott Davis rendered advanced medical care in a hostile environment while under active threat. Select Board members accepted and approved the Edward J. Byrne Memorial Justice Assistant Grant in the amount of $18,250 to purchase 6 license plate recognition cameras and also approved a grant for municipal speed feedback signage program through the Mass Department of Transportation, known as MassDOT, for 3 pole-mounted speed signs and 1 speed trailer. Additionally, the board voted on recommendations for the May 5th, 2026 annual town meeting warrant, including recommending approvals for authorizing sale of tax title foreclosure properties, establishment of renewal of revolving funds for town and school programs, appropriating Chapter 90 funds, if available, for repair and maintenance of town roads, appropriating $314,000 for the purchase of a new generator at Auburn High School, requiring building permits before land disturbance activities and triple fees for violations, and accepting Nancy Drive as a public street. The annual town meeting will be held on May 5th, that's Tuesday, May 5th, at 6 p.m. in the Auburn High School Auditorium, 99 Auburn Street. Additional topics of discussion will include operating and capital budgets for fiscal year 2027. The following article is from the May 1st edition of the Auburn News. Friends of the Auburn Library announce fundraising events. The Friends of the Auburn Public Library announced 2 upcoming fundraising events. The Friends are having a book sale on Saturday, May 2nd from 10 a.m. to 12:30 p.m. in the Auburn Library Merriam Room. Hundreds of books will be available for purchase. The Friends accept cash, check, or PayPal at the book sale. The Friends are also inviting the public to our very popular 3rd annual afternoon tea, a fundraiser on Sunday, May 17th, 1 to 4 p.m. at the Patchogue Center, 203 Patchogue Street, Auburn. The featured guest speaker is Lewis Alderton, beekeeper. The menu for the tea is a delicious assortment of finger sandwiches, savory delights, sweet treats, and tea. The cost is $30 per person in advance, cash, check, or PayPal. Space is limited. Reserve your seat by May 15th. Brochures are also available in the lobby of the Auburn Public Library with additional information. Wearing fancy hats to the tea is encouraged but not required. The Friends also maintain an ongoing book sale at the Auburn Public Library. Come to the Auburn Public Library lobby and peruse dozens of gently used young adult books and children's books, DVDs and CDs anytime that the library is open. Choose from popular titles and old favorites. Book prices are posted in the lobby. See the Auburn Public Library website for the library hours. Friends of the Auburn Public Library is an independent, nonprofit, 501c3 volunteer organization dedicated to raising money through special events such as the afternoon tea, annual calendar drawings, various literary presentations, book sales, monetary donations, and other activities, and to donate those funds to the library for materials, services, and programs not funded through the library's municipal budget. Watch for all the upcoming Friends events. You will find notices in the Auburn Library lobby and postings of our Facebook group page, Friends of the Auburn Public Library, Auburn, Massachusetts. Come join the Friends. Meetings are typically held the fourth Monday of each month at 5:30 p.m. in the Merriam Room. Please check the library calendar in case of change. New members are always welcome, and please add your email to our contact list by writing to Friends of Auburn Library, all one word, at gmail.com, because you can never have too many friends. Following announcement is in the May 1st edition of the Auburn News. Elm Hill Water District annual meeting is Tuesday. The Auburn meeting of the Elm Hill Water District will be held on Tuesday, May 5th at 7 p.m. at the district office, 55 Jerome Avenue in Auburn. The following news, information, and announcements are for the town of Grafton. This is from the Yes Grafton Group, dated Thursday, April 30th. Your vote matters in Grafton. What a yes vote protects versus what a no vote cuts. It's beginning with schools. By voting yes, it protects, keeps teachers in classrooms, maintains class sizes, preserves music and sports, keeps world language programs, supports math, counseling, and electives. Voting no would mean that there'd be an immediate impact, 11.5 positions eliminated, larger class sizes across grades, cuts to music, sports, and languages, less academic support for students, fewer electives, and career prep options. Town services. By voting yes, it protects building inspections and services, planning and conservation, and general town operations. By voting no, the immediate impact would be staff reductions across departments, slower permitting and inspections, delays in projects and services, and reduced town capacity overall. Community quality of life. By voting yes, it will protect senior center services, library hours, public safety staffing, DPW services, and stormwater work. Recreation programs. If you vote no, impact in the fiscal year 28 and beyond, reduced library access, fewer senior services, cuts to public safety staffing, delayed infrastructure maintenance, shortened beach season, fewer rec programs. Why it matters for Grafton? Strong schools support strong communities. Well-funded services keep Grafton safe, thriving, and well-maintained. And finally, responsible funding today prevents deeper cuts tomorrow. The bottom line, yes, maintain services and stability. Yes, Grafton, keep Grafton strong. Vote yes on May 19th. Also from the Yes Grafton, two votes, both matter. Monday, May 11th, town meeting, 7 p.m. at the Grafton High School. Vote yes on Article 15 at town meeting. Residents vote to fund the annual budget contingent on passing the 2.5 override. Child care is available. Then on Tuesday, May 19th, the ballot vote from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m., your polling place, Grafton Middle School or Milbury Street School. Vote yes on question one. Voting yes here and at town meeting provides the funding for town and schools to maintain programs and services. Make your vote count. Keep Grafton strong. following announcement is from the Grafton Senior Center. We'll be providing transportation to town meeting on Monday, May 11th at 7 p.m. for 14 seniors who would like getting assistance to the meeting. Call 508-339-9242 for further information about getting transportation. Reservations will be taken on a first-come, first-served basis, and spots are limited to 14. The service is offered to help make it easier for seniors to attend and participate in this important community event. The following article is from the April 24th edition of the Grafton News, Green and Growing in Grafton, Community Harvest Project plans another season. If there's any doubt that spring has sprung, a visit to Community Harvest Project on Wheeler Road in Grafton would convince anyone. On a recent spring day, 7 volunteers were potting some of the thousands of plants that will be growing on the property and helping to fulfill the organization's mission to provide hunger relief to Massachusetts residents. The little seedlings are unrecognizable to the untrained, but when they grow, they'll produce the fruits and vegetables we all recognize. Beans and corn, pumpkins and cucumbers, tomatoes and peppers, and many, many more vegetables and flowers. As the volunteers carefully repotted some tiny seedlings, the older seedlings are spread out in the nearby greenhouses in various stages of growth, all under the supervision of Community Harvest Manager of Farm Operations, Dave Johnson. The entire farm starts in this room, Johnson said, standing in the middle of the largest of the greenhouses. And though it may seem early, cool weather crops will be put in the ground very soon. Leeks next week, others later, bulk planting the first week of May. Volunteers are vital to CHP's mission. The 7 volunteers at work recently were just the beginning of a long stream of volunteers. In fact, the farm runs on volunteerism. Some come on a regular basis, others just now and then. Larger groups from, for instance, corporations with volunteer programs come just once. And while volunteerism helps any nonprofit, especially one with a mission that takes a great deal of work like farming, the mission here isn't just local. The volunteers will learn something here about growing food, and but also as they work, they're likely earning about how many, that is, learning about how many food insecure folks there are who need CHP and other organizations like them. A lot of passive education is going on here, Manager Volunteers Wayne McAuliffe said. The use of so many volunteers to achieve the organization's goals has been the way CHP works since its inception, and the volunteers, individuals, and groups have all brought a great deal to the organization that might have less to do with potting seedlings and more to do with all the other things every organization needs. They come, they work, they become interested in the mission, and they offer their skills. We're always willing to engage with people and meet them where they are, McAuliffe said. Where they are is often an incredible boon to the organization. We get people with wonderful professional skills, Johnson said. A growing concern. While growing plants is obviously the goal, increasing the amount of produce that CHP can distribute to all the food banks it supports is also a goal. It means conserving resources and keeping up with the new methods of planting, as well as new products that might be needed. But lately, it's about extending the growing season by 8 weeks last year and growing products that can help with food insecurity even when the gardens aren't blooming. Hunger is year-round, Executive Director Tori Bershepper said. What can we do to be able to turn our produce into something we can distribute all year round, Johnson said. That's the nut we're trying and working to crack right now. They're also working to use their existing resources as efficiently as possible. That always means planting as early as possible and then replanting. It could mean planting more than just fruit in the orchards at CHP's second location in Harvard, Massachusetts, where apples and peaches are grown. It could mean continuing to expand sustainable method. While Community Harvest has always been on track to change, improve, and grow, the direction of that change itself took on a different character, providing different challenges when CHP purchased the property it was formerly renting in early 2024. As landowners, they're charged with maintaining the community barn and considering its future, as well as considering renewable energy. The organizational growth also means growing staff, this year hiring an operations director. Amidst these practical considerations, the group never loses sight of the goal. There's a lot of what's going on here, but it's really about the why, Johnson said. The why is the growing need for healthy food for people experiencing food insecurity. A new report on hunger in Massachusetts by Greater Boston Food Bank and Mass General Brigham found that 40% of residents in Massachusetts had experienced food insecurity. That's 1.1 million people in need for many reasons: inflation, a reduction in income or benefits, some residual income challenges from the pandemic. No matter what the reasons, the need is growing, and CHP is attempting to grow as much as possible to help. CHP's efforts are bearing fruit. In 2025, they donated more than 290,000 pounds of produce to 27 area food distribution organizations. The work to produce those 45-plus varieties of produce was done by more than 6,300 volunteers. For more information about donating or volunteering at Community Harvest Project, visit their website at community-harvest.org. Following article dated May 1st in the Community Advocate, Select Board prefers full Grafton Middle School roof replacement. The fate of Grafton Middle School's roof will be decided at the ballot box and at town meeting, but the Select Board on April 21st weighed in on how the project would be funded. In spring 2025, Garland, a commercial roofing firm, studied the roof at Grafton Middle School located at 22 Providence Road. The study revealed significant issues with its final report, determining that catastrophic failure and other health dangers are dangerously evident if roof replacement is put off any further. In the fall, town meeting approved funds for further study and analysis of the roof. Superintendent James Cummings went before the Select Board earlier in April to outline options to replace the 63-year-old roof, which has received decades of patching. It is original to the 76,000-square-foot school, which opened in 1963. A full roof repair would run between $4.3 to $5.3 million. According to Cummings, some areas are worse than others. A partial replacement of the whole roof would run between $2.2 and $2.7 million. Solely replacing the most seriously damaged portions of the roof, the area of the building closest to Providence Road that houses all the classrooms would cost between $1.5 and $1.8 million. Grafton may be eligible for the MSBA Accelerated Repair Program, which could reimburse 50% of the expenses. However, the application doesn't open until January 2027, and it's a four-year process until the project could be started. In a memo to the Select Board, Cummings recommended the town replace the area in most dire need of repair, which would cost approximately $2.7 million. Then he reasoned the town could apply for the MSBA Accelerated Repair Program in January 2027 for assistance in funding the remainder of the roof that needs replacement, with that work finishing in 2031. The Select Board preferred to do the whole project at once. I'm for replacing the whole thing. I said that a couple weeks ago. That hasn't changed, said Select Board member Mark Alimo. I think it's too much of a liability, too much of a problem. It's been going on for a really long time. You start doing partial here, partial there, you can run into a bunch of problems. Added Select Board member Craig Dauphinus, for this roof, There's some severe damage there. I think there's some value in doing it all at once. As the amount of square feet of the roof increases, I think there's some efficiency there, and we saw in those projected cost estimates. Whereas town administrator Evan Broussard originally anticipated using $1.5 million in free cash and $1.3 million from the Municipal Stabilization Fund, a total of $2.8 million, to fund parts of the project, Dauphinus proposed another option. Dauphinus suggested using $1 million from free cash and $500,000 from the Municipal Stabilization Fund, total of $1.5 million up front, then bonding the rest of the project. He then proposed using the extra cash not spent on the roof in fiscal 27 for other needs, capital projects. Those capital projects, according to the town administrator's office, could include treatment of invasive species, a new one-ton dump truck, and roof maintenance for other schools. Alimo and Dauphinus' plan was questioned by Select Board Chair Andy Jefferson and Select Board Member Matthew Often. The fifth member of the board, Anne Marie Foley, was absent. Jefferson and Often seemed to prefer an option that didn't involve borrowing, especially considering the $5 million override ask already on the ballot this spring. I like Town Administrator Evan Broussard's plan. His plan doesn't go to bond at all, now at least, and gets the critical capital project done and gives an opportunity for matching grants, said Often. Added Jefferson, I was on the fence. I know we talked about the market of scale, doing it all at once, just getting it done and over with, but then the option to not have a bond it and not to have to put another debt exclusion on the ballot, it's enticing. It was respectful debate. Toffin has said he was inclined to agree with Jefferson and Often, but that the time to consider the MSBA funding had passed for the failing Grafton Middle School roof. Future projects like replacing the North Street Elementary School roof could benefit from these discussions, he said. We obviously have a lot of roofs to fix. As a sidebar, I think we need to come up with a strategic plan about how we're going to do this over the next decade. Hopefully, we can take advantage of the state grant to repair these roofs going forward, he said. Dauphinus' plans passed 3-1, with Often voting nay. The following program announcements are from the Grafton Senior Center Gazette, dated May 2026. Meet the new and greet with the new Council on Aging Director, Stephanie Abate. Please come to meet and connect with Stephanie and share what you love about the Senior Center and your ideas for new events and offerings. That on Tuesday, May 6th, starting at 10 a.m. The next program, Sing Along with Chuck and Dave. Join the fun on Tuesday, May 5th at 10:30 a.m. The Improv Wind Show. Join us for fun show where the performance is unscripted and improvised on the spot. This program will be offered on May 15th at 1 p.m. Birthday Luncheon. A special luncheon of lemon, chicken, pasta, salad, bread, and dessert will be served. We will be celebrating April, May, and June birthdays. Those celebrating their birthdays eat free. Anyone else that wishes to celebrate, it'll be $3 on Wednesday, May 13th at 11:30 a.m. Call 508-839-9242 to make a reservation by May 9th. Next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center. Podiatry services are returning to the Grafton Senior Center beginning on June 5th at 8:30 a.m. Dr. Robert Grondin from Premier Foot and Ankle Center will be offering podiatry. Please call his office at 508-363-6868 to register and schedule. Leave a message if they don't answer, and they will call you back. Next announcement from the Grafton Senior Center, tech support with Grafton High students. Need help with your phone, tablet, or laptop? The Grafton High School Computer Science Honor Society will be offering monthly drop-in tech support office hours at the Senior Center. Stop by on Tuesday, May 19th at 2:30 p.m. for one-on-one help from our tech-savvy students. Free medical van rides for the month of May, courtesy of an anonymous donor. Through the generosity of an anonymous donor, the Senior Center is able to offer free medical van rides for Grafton residents ages 60 and older, as well as those with disabilities. For more information, call the Senior Center at 508-839-9242. The next program at the Grafton Senior Center is on Thursday, May 28th at 10 a.m. Tour of the Police Station with Sergeant Spellman. Join us for the Tour of the Police Station again on Thursday, May 28th. The following news and information and announcements are for the towns of Millbury and Sutton. Our first article from the Millbury-Sutton Chronicle, dated April 30th, 2026, Millbury Town Election Uncertified Results Are In. The Millbury Town Clerk's Office has posted the unofficial results of the town election held on Tuesday, April 28th. For Select Board, Brian Sora successfully ran to be returned to his seat on the board, while newcomer Michael R. Gilchrist won against Richard F. Goslin to fill the one-year seat on the board that was open after Catherine McKenna left the board in order to take the position of Town Finance Director. Gilchrist received 367 votes to Goslin's 99. Goslin Planning Board member also ran again for his seat on the planning board as one of three candidates for only two seats on that board. Goslin lost to Terry Ingo, a current board member, and newcomer Melody Bellevue. Jessica L. Bristol beat Sean Michael Cooper by 138 votes for a three-year seat on the school committee. Jean Morosky, Board of Assessors, James Morin, Board of Health, and Stephanie Marie Phillips, Library Trustees, Harold F. Prudian, Redevelopment Authority, and Sean Michael Cooper, Redevelopment Authority, ran unopposed in their campaign. All are three-year seats except for Prudian's, which is a five-year seat, and Cooper's, which is a one-year. A three-year seat on the Redevelopment Authority and a five-year seat on the Housing Authority had no candidates. Only 500 votes were cast in this election. The town has 11,098 registered voters. Our next article from the Millbury-Sutton Chronicle, dated April 30th, 2026, transfer station sticker fees, bag fees, increasing July 1. Sutton Select Board voted to increase the cost of transfer station usage stickers from $50 a year to $65 a year for the first household sticker and from $25 to $30 for the second householder sticker, with planned increases of $5 a year for the next 5 years. The cost increase will be effective July 1, 2026. Costs for the town's trash bags will also increase from $13.75 to $15 for 5 30-gallon bags and $7.50 to $8.75 for smaller bags. The vote approved a stepped increase as a compromise after town manager Austin Saganowitz presented the trash enterprise fund's budget needs and two larger suggested increases to the board. Raise the sticker fees from $50 to $100 for the first sticker and from $25 to $50 for a second household sticker, or raise them from $50 to $75 for the first sticker and from $25 to $40 for the second. Saganowitz said the current cost being charged would leave the enterprise fund that holds the trash fees and pays the costs short $10,000 if no fees were increased, resulting in decreased services. The increase in fees is meant to cover the increased cost of the solid waste disposal process. The program will see an increase of $10 more per ton of waste taken from the transfer station by the town's hauling services, the increase being part of the most recent three-year contract signed after a competitive procurement process, and a 3% salary increase due to a collective bargaining union agreement with the transfer station's employee. Other increases to costs that were considered are overtime pay and possible maintenance and replacement costs for the transfer station equipment. Saganowicz said the recommended position for enterprise funds is to have a large cushion called retained earnings in order to assure that costly repairs or replacements to necessary equipment and facilities can be done when needed, thereby avoiding disruptions in service. You should typically try to have, and I know this is going to be a little shocking, at least twice your annual budget in retained earnings, again, I would said. That's a lot, and we're not even where close to that. The annual budget for next year is more than $170,000. Increase hard for residents. Board members and citizens at the meeting were concerned that the initial suggestion of a large bump in cost could weigh heavily on residents, particularly the town's seniors. Many seniors are living from Social Security check to Social Security check, and they are having difficulty, Sutton resident John Belcufine said. Belcufine also said that with gas and food prices increases, this fee would increase the burden on them. He recalled a time when seniors were not charged for stickers to use the transfer station. He also suggested that getting more town folks using the system would require less of an individual increase. Currently, many folks pay for a private hauler that he said leaves trash around town as it collects it and is a blight on the town. The private haulers also cause wear and tear on the town's roads, select board members said. Other residents were also concerned about the cost increase as well as the enterprise fund itself, which resident Ron Roy suggested should be examined closely for cost savings. I think there was just a little bit more thought, look more into the numbers and look through the actual costs and see if there's ways to reduce them and maybe reach out to the town of Millbury and see how they're running their operation and anything that we can learn from there to help drive the cost down, Roy said. Select board member Normand Champagne suggested that perhaps the program needs some marketing help as the cost for the town's stickers and average bag use, even with the increase, is lower than the cost to use private haulers. Increasing the number of folks who use the service would also help raise more money for the program if it increased recyclables, which actually make a small profit for the program. Currently, about a third of the town's more than 3,000 households use the transfer station. An increase in users, though, would have consequences as well, Select Board Vice Chair Jonathan Anderson said. Increased usage would probably require increased hours and associated costs. A suggestion to take away the bag fees and have only increase sticker fee was not as popular among board members who said having bag fees encouraged recycling and composting and gave residents the ability to control a portion of their trash fees. Select board member Christine Watkins made the motion for smaller cost of living increases to the sticker and bag fees every year as the cost of running the program, which she said would be easier than a big increase every few years. Select Board Chair Jesse Lamanick agreed that phased increases might be better and was concerned about the future of the program. I think we need to do something that's sustainable, not just for tomorrow, but for the long term, Lamannick said. The board unanimously voted to approve Watkins' motion. The same considerations, Sigano said, are driving discussions on raising sewer rates, a discussion that is planned for June. Before the July beginning of the next fiscal year, the town's sewer services are also run by an enterprise fund. Our next article is from the Worcester Telegram Gazette, dated May 3, 2026. Pursuit in Millbury, driver of swerving front end loader faces charges. A slow-speed pursuit of a front-end loader ended with the arrest of the man at the wheel of the machine. Kevin Euclid Flores, age 21, of Worcester, faces several charges, according to Millbury Police. Shortly before 9:30 p.m. Saturday, May 2nd, police received a report of an erratic front-end loader on Route 20. Officers were initially unable to find the vehicle. It was eventually located at Park Hill Avenue. Officers observed the loader swerve towards oncoming traffic as the vehicle moved onto Martin Street, with police cruisers' blue lights flashing following at about 10 to 15 miles an hour, according to police. The driver eventually brought the vehicle to a stop but refused to shut off the engine, police said. After some time, he complied with officers' request to exit the loader. Police did not detail why Euclid Flores was driving the loader at night. Our next article from the Millbury Sutton Chronicle, Sutton Garden Club Annual Plant Sale. This dated April 30th, 2026, Sutton Garden Club's annual plant sale will take place on the Common at 3 Uxbridge Road, Sutton, on Saturday, May 16th from 10 a.m. to noon. A variety of perennial plants and other greenery from our gardens will be on sale. We will once again also feature a silent auction table of donated items and some tables of garden and gifts items offered by the SGC members and local businesses. Please note that Sunday, May 17th, noon to 2 p.m., is our rain date. The Sutton Garden Club membership year begins in April, and there will be a membership table at the plant sale for those interested in joining the club for our upcoming year of programs and activities. The Sutton Garden Club year will include the celebration of our 30th anniversary next spring, 2027. Proceeds from the plant sale fund our community efforts, including our grant program, plantings and maintenance at the bandstand in Manchog Square during the summer, decorations and wreaths for the bandstand and commons at Christmas time, and also helps fund our garden programs during the year. This community news program is a production of Audio Journal, a proud member of the Massachusetts Audio Information Network. If you'd like a hard copy of our program schedule, either in large print or braille, please call 508-797-1117. Archived editions of this program are available on our website, audiojournal.org, or go to the Audio Journal app on your iPhone, iPad, and Android device. I'm Artie Weisky. Thanks for listening.
Hello once again, Audio Journal listeners. This is Bill Ruggiero, your latest weather forecast for today, Monday, May 4th, 2026. Here's my latest forecast. For today, we're looking at mostly sunny skies, highs near 75 degrees. For tonight, mostly clear skies, lows in the upper 50s. Now for your Tuesday, is calm for mostly sunny skies, highs near 81 degrees. Tuesday night, mostly cloudy skies with showers and thunderstorms likely after midnight. Lows will be near in the mid-60s, and the outlook for Wednesday is calm for mostly cloudy skies, not as warm, with showers and thunderstorms likely. Some of the rain may be heavy at times on Wednesday. Wednesday's highs in the mid-70s. That, folks, is your latest weather forecast for Monday, May 4th, 2026. This has been Bill Ruggiero saying have a good and happy day, everybody, and please stay tuned for more programming up next on Audio Journal. Take care. Have a wonderful Monday, everybody. Bye.
Welcome to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. poem today is Remember by Christina Rossetti. Remember me when I am gone away, gone far away into the silent land, when you can no more hold me by the hand, nor I half turn to go, yet turning stay. Remember me when no more day by day you tell me of our future that you planned. Only remember me. You understand it will be late to counsel then or pray. Yet if you should forget me for a while and afterwards remember, do not grieve. For if the darkness and corruption leave a vestige of the thoughts that once I had, better by far you should forget and smile than that you should remember and be sad. You've been listening to Everyday Poems for Every Day, sponsored by Audio Journal. Read by me, Nikki Wichelow. Thanks so much for listening. May your life be filled with poetic wonder.